Once again, I invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 23, and while you're turning there, I'd just like to ask you to pray for me. As Tuesday, I have the funeral service for Tom Berman. As you know, his wife Cheryl has been very faithful years ago in attending our church, and her children and now her grandchildren grew up in this church. So many of those people at the funeral Tuesday, I'm going to recognize, I'm going to remember them. Most of them have heard the gospel. Many of them have probably made decisions when they were going attending church here at Sunday school. So they need to hear the gospel as well and need to be reminded of what God has done for them. So please be in prayer that God would certainly work among the folks that are at the funeral on Tuesday morning at 11 o'clock. I'm looking for a song here we're going to close with. Matthew chapter 23 talks about the coming of the Lord very briefly there in verse 39. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus says, you're not going to see me again. Once he ascends and goes back to heaven to be with the Father, after the resurrection, of course, he says, you will not see me again till ye will say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In other words, when Jesus Christ breaks through the clouds of glory in his second coming, Israel, the nation of Israel, is going to look up in their most desperate hour, their most desperate moment of all history, when the battle of Armageddon is raging fierce, and it looks like their doom is pending. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is going to come and put an end, not only to that battle, but to the evil in the world. And they are going to recognize him, finally recognize him as their Messiah. And they are going to say in unison, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're going to recognize that the one in the name coming in the name of the Lord is none other than Jesus Christ the Lord. So as we look at the second advent, or also known as the word advent simply means appearing, or appearance or arrival. As we look at the second advent, also known as the second coming of Christ, Dr. Kober calls this prophecy's foremost event. Prophecy's foremost event. And the second advent, I just need to say right up front, is not to be confused with the rapture of the church. Some people get those two confused. They think, well, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and take all the Christians out of the world. That's the second coming. No, that's not the second coming. That's a separate event called the rapture, the snatching away of the church from the world to be followed by 7 years of tribulation on the face of the earth. We're going to look at all that. Here in a few minutes, we're going to get into that. But the second coming is going to be at the end of the tribulation period, the end of the 7 years, when Israel is being attacked from every side by the armies of the world, and their doom looks certain and imminent. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to appear. Christ's second coming is going to be a physical coming. He's coming in person. It's going to be a personal coming. He's coming himself, not sending a representative. It's going to be a powerful coming. He's coming to this earth. When he steps on Mount Zion, it's going to split in two. And there's going to be great changes take place. The rapture of the church, according to Kober, is the believer's fondest hope. We studied that already. The believer's fondest hope is looking for that glorious appearance of Jesus Christ when he takes his bride out of this church and takes us to be with him, and where he is, we will be forever. And so the second advent is prophecy's foremost event, the most important prophetic event in the world. Here's a statistic you should remember. The prophecies concerning the second coming or the second advent are mentioned over 1,000 times in the Bible. I think God wants us to know something about it. So over 1,000 references to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Lord's return to earth with his saints, those who were raptured, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, those who are raptured and caught up to meet him in the air and are with him during the tribulation, we are coming back to this earth with him. He is going to be accompanied by the army of heaven, the saints, riding on white horses. Tonight we're going to look at a verse that explains that that is us, dressed in white linen, fine white linen. And so his return with his saints was prophesied. We're talking about how many times in the Bible we see references to the second advent. That was prophesied. Him coming back with his saints was prophesied over 7,000 years ago by Enoch. And we learned that from Jude, the New Testament book. Jude 1:14 says, "And Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." He's coming with you and I. Now you might be thinking of the second coming as one single event. He comes, he appears, he's here, it's over. Not quite. It's going to happen quickly. We're going to look at that tonight. It's going to happen like a flash of lightning. But then there are events that accompany his coming that triggers a series of events. And we're going to be talking about 8 major events connected to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The end of the tribulation culminates, as you know, is from our study. Pastor Zach explained, talked about the Battle of Armageddon. And when that battle, after 2.5 years, gets fierce and begins to culminate in the conclusion of the nation of Israel, at least it appears, the tribulation will be over. God's wrath will have been poured out, first of all, upon the whole earth. The whole earth is going to suffer for their rebellion against God and their rejection of the Messiah. That's why Jesus is going to take the bride out first before that happens. That's why the church is going to be raptured first. Why would God beat up the bride before the wedding? That's what Pastor Rudy in West Virginia always said. And so we're going to be gone. But God is going to pour out his wrath against the rebellion that has been the world has shown against God. Secondly, the tribulation is God's wrath upon the nation of Israel itself. Why is God angry with Israel? We talked about this morning. They're his chosen people. They're the apple of his eye. They're the beloved ones of God. Yes, that's true, as a nation. And God's not finished with them. He has a prophetic program yet to come that's going to be finished when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the earth and establishes a millennial kingdom. But he's angry with Israel. His wrath is going to be upon Israel because of their rebellion and their rejection and crucifixion of his son. Their rejection and crucifixion of the Messiah. Until then, Israel as a nation will be a nation in unbelief. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Desolate is the poorest condition that you could ever find anybody in. Poor in the sense not of financial poverty, but poor in the sense of being spiritually bankrupt, being as dark and blind as you can be. Israel needs the light to be shining to them so that they might see that when Jesus comes, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're going to recognize him as their Messiah. So until then, the nation of Israel will be a nation in unbelief. Yes, There are many Jewish ministries, praise God, evangelizing Jewish people. Praise God for that. There are a lot of Jewish people getting saved today. But as a nation, as a whole, the vast majority of them are not getting saved. There's going to be 144,000 saved during the tribulation after the Lord comes and takes his church off of the earth. There's going to be 144,000 Jewish people saved, and they're going to become witnesses that go all over the world proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can praise the Lord for that. But still, the nation of Israel is a nation as a whole in unbelief, a nation in spiritual poverty, a nation that is left desolate. And so when Christ appears with his saints, Israel will finally change their view of Messiah. Now, I said that the appearance of the Messiah, the second coming, the second advent, I've got a lot of synonyms here that I'm using interchangeably. The appearance of Messiah is going to trigger 8 major events, and I have them listed there on your outline for you. First of all, tonight we're going to talk about the simple return, or shouldn't say simple, but just the return. Just looking at the aspect of here he is. He's appeared in the clouds. He has come back. The appearance of Messiah. The return of Messiah to earth. And then Jerusalem's going to be in shambles. Remember, the battle of Armageddon is going to be coming on strong. It's going to be nearing the end. People are going to be perishing. It's going to be an awful sight. People are going to be fleeing to the mountains, but it'll be too late to do that. Jerusalem will be in shambles. And so the second significant event after he actually appears is he's going to rescue the city of Jerusalem. He's going to rescue the city of Jerusalem. By the way, the city of Jerusalem, just to remind you, is the holy city, the city of David. It is going to be the capital city location of Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the millennial kingdom. Then the Antichrist program will be finished. And so we have the removal of Antichrist and the false prophet. They are going to be cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 19, verses 19 through 21. So that's part of the second coming, the removal of Antichrist and the false prophet. Then after that, we have the restraining of Satan. Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years and cast into the bottomless pit. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. The restraining of Satan. Then we're going to have the resurrection of the tribulation martyrs and, according to Kober, the Old Testament saints. We're going to say a little bit about that tonight. But the resurrection of the tribulation martyrs, all of those who got saved, we just saw the film on the tribulation. Many people will get saved during the tribulation, and many of them will die. They will not take the mark of the beast, and they will not be able to buy or sell. They will not be able to survive, and the Antichrist will kill them. And their souls are seen under the altar in heaven. The saints of God are going to see them as they arrive in heaven. And there's going to be the resurrection of those tribulation martyrs at the return of Christ. The regathering of the saved and unsaved. The angels are going to go out to the four winds of the earth and gather the elect together. Those who got saved during the tribulation, many of them are actually going to survive the remainder of the tribulation period. The angels are going to gather them together as well as the unsaved, because there's going to be a judgment of Israel and a judgment of the Gentile nations that takes place there before the great white throne judgment. So the regathering of the saved and unsaved, and then the reckoning, the judgment itself, the reckoning of Jews and Gentiles, and the ones that survived the great tribulation. Ezekiel 20:38 talks about that. Well, you say, well, that's only 7 major events. What's number 8? Number 8 gets into the next topic, the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, and the rejoicing in the kingdom. All of this, all of these second coming events will culminate in the beginning of the millennial kingdom, which is earth's future beauty. And we call this the rejoicing in the kingdom. So now, with all of you, all of that, where we're headed, out of the way, I'd like to go back to point number 1 and talk tonight about the return of Messiah to earth. There's many references to it in the Bible, as we've already mentioned. But the main reference, the main place that we go to look at the second coming and describe exactly what that event is going to be like is in Matthew 24. So assuming you still have your Bibles open to Matthew 23, maybe just look right across the page or flip the page to Matthew 24, and we're going to look tonight at verses 27 through 30 of Matthew chapter 24. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So we'll stop right there for the moment and look at several events, several descriptions that are going to take place, five of them altogether. First of all, we see that it's going to happen very rapidly. It's going to happen unexpectedly, and it's going to happen visibly. The earth is somehow going to see the coming of Messiah back to the earth like a flash of lightning. We read there in verse 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." Debbie and I were sitting in our living room one hot, humid summer evening this past summer, and even with our drapes closed, when an emergency vehicle goes by, you can see the red lights flashing and they're reflecting off of the walls, and it gets our attention. We wonder what's going on now, and we sometimes, it's on my mind to stop and pray for somebody that's in trouble. But this one evening, there was a flash of light that got our attention, and she looked at me and she says, "Was that lightning?" And we didn't hear any thunder. There was no sign of an approaching thunderstorm. But I mean, it lit the house up, even with the drapes closed. It was almost blindingly bright. But as fast as it came, it was gone. So we concluded it was a flash of, it was really bright flash of lightning. I don't know if you remember that. It was a really, really bright. That's going to be what it's like when the Lord Jesus Christ appears in His second return. Just super fast. And it's going to like flash across the sky, and the whole world is going to know that something significant took place. Fourth century Greek orator John Chrysostom, anybody who's been to Bible college knows that name. John Chrysostom says, "As lightning explodes across the sky with a spectacular display of light and blinding radiance, so will the coming of the Lord be with an equally brilliant explosion of His glory." Tom Cunningham would like that phrase. An explosion of the glory of Jesus Christ is going to be across the whole earth. You know, I thought, when I think of the glory of God, the glory of Jesus Christ, I think of John's description of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1, where he writes, "I saw one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice the sound of many waters." Every time I think of that, I think of our one and only visit to Niagara Falls. You've ever been there, you know the noise of that falls is deafening. You can't stand next to somebody and hold a conversation. You couldn't hear. If you yelled at each other, you wouldn't be able to hear each other. It's deafening. This is how I picture the Lord Jesus Christ returning to the earth in all of His radiant glory, as fast as a streak of lightning. In the beautiful song Julia Ward Howe wrote, she says, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on." So the Lord Jesus Christ will come quickly in judgment. Secondly, it will happen while the earth is reeling from the aftermath of the battle of Armageddon. Verse 28, "For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Now we have to study that word eagles, because when we think of the bald eagle, it is a predatory bird. But we don't think of the eagle, the American eagle, as a vulture. But in the Middle East, the word for vulture is eagle. And the eagles in the Middle East are unlike, very unlike the American bald eagle. They are more like vultures. When we think of a vulture, what we think of is a vulture than an eagle. Oliver B. Green reminds us that when Jesus and his armies move against the Antichrist and his hordes in the battle of Armageddon, the blood will flow to the horses' bridles, and there will be carcasses of men and horses and kings and captains to be devoured by all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven. Revelation 19:17. These eagle-like vultures are going to descend and consume the flesh of the carcasses that are left after the battle of Armageddon. A theologian by the name of Cox, S. Cox, said that the vultures gather wheresoever the carcass is and gather to consume it. It is clearly for the health of the world. For unconsumed, the carcass would but rot and fester and infect the air, and by its infection turning the very breath of life into the minister of death. All the birds that prey on carrion are scavenger birds. Most of the scavengers, from the vulture of the east down to the flies, which cleanse our shops and rooms from every morsel of corruption, are a little loathsome to us, yet how much we owe them. We owe them nothing short of health and life. A world without scavengers would soon become a stinking sepulcher. Thirdly, the second coming will be accompanied by signs and wonders in the heavens. Verses 29 and 30, again we read, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." And then, that's not the sign, it says, "And then," verse 30, "shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Several things here I just want to mention. The signs and wonders. The Jews have always asked for a sign. What will be the sign of your coming? And scholars have debated what we're talking about here. What is the sign of his coming? They have different ideas. Some say, well, we go back to verse 29 and we see it's the darkness that comes over the face of the earth. The sun is darkened, the moon is darkened, the stars fall from heaven, the powers of heaven are shaken. There's like a violent earthquake that takes place in outer space. That's not the sign, in my opinion, because it says, "And then," or "after this, shall appear the sign." And then it tells us very plainly what that sign is. The sign of the Son of Man in heaven in all of his power and glory. I believe that itself is the sign. The sign is Jesus Christ. When Israel looks up, sees him coming, and says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And I can't put the emotion into that phrase that is going to be present when it actually takes place. It's going to be an amazing, earth-shattering event when Israel proclaims their acknowledgement of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, in his return. So the signs and wonders, the sign of the setting aside of the nation of Israel, was the departure of the glory from the temple in Ezekiel 10, verses 3 and 18, when the glory departed. The sign of his return, it seems to me likely to assume, is the very brightness of the glory of his appearing. Verse 30. So the sign and wonders in heaven. Number 4, the second coming of Christ is going to be accompanied by all the tribes of the earth mourning at his coming. Why are they going to be mourning? Don't you think they would be glad to see him? Why are they going to be mourning? They're going to be mourning because they're going to recognize that judgment is at hand. Who is Jesus Christ? King and Lord of glory, the judge of all the earth, the judge. In Revelation 1:7, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. All kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so." Amen. All the kindreds, all the nations, all the peoples of the earth shall wail, cry, mourn out loud because of his appearance. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7b through 9, Paul writes, "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Why is hell going to be so bad? Well, you say, well, because of the fire, the enormous amount of torment and torture that goes on forever and ever and ever, the darkness, pitch black darkness, the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. All of that's true, dear friends. It's going to be terrible. Hell is going to be inexplicably horrible and horrifying. But personally, I think one of the worst things about hell is that the people will not be able to even get a glimpse of the glory of the Son of God for all of eternity. For all of eternity. They will be banished from the glory of his power. Number 5, he's coming in the clouds, verse 30c. "And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." What did the angel say to the disciples in Acts chapter 1? When Jesus ascended, he ascended into the clouds. And they said, "He is coming back in like manner as you have seen him go." He is coming back just as he left. And then the angels accompanying him will gather the elect, number 6, they will gather the elect from the four winds of the earth. Verse 31, we didn't read this earlier. I wanted to save it till we got here. It says, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." The four winds just simply means from one end of heaven to the other, refers to the four quarters of the earth, north, east, south, west. It implies that there will again be believers, the elect. They're going to be gathering the elect, those who get saved during the tribulation and actually manage to survive till the end. When Christ returns, they'll still be on the face of the earth. The angels are going to gather them together. In 2 Thessalonians 1:10, Paul says, "He shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because of our testimony among you was believed in that day." Louis Barbera, Jr. of Dallas Seminary says, "This gathering will probably also involve all Old Testament saints whose resurrection will occur at this time, so that they may share in Messiah's kingdom." Now we're going to talk more about that, because there are those who disagree about when the Old Testament saints are actually resurrected, but we're going to go right now with what Kober is saying, and Barbara here from Dallas believes that as the angels gather the elect from the four winds of heaven, that he's referring to the resurrection of the tribulation martyrs, the Old Testament saints, and the unsaved from around the earth that are still living. That does not include the living, that does not include the dead unbelieving who are going to be resurrected and stand before God at the great white throne judgment. That's for much later. One more thing that I want us to look at this evening before we're finished, and I want you to turn, would like for you to turn, to Revelation chapter 19. The second advent comes in righteousness. We've talked much about this the last several weeks when we were talking about the Battle of Armageddon. We were talking about the terrible destruction that's going to take place during the tribulation. Everything that God does is right. He is a righteous God. He is a holy God. He has a reason and a purpose behind all that he does. More details of Christ's glorious second coming are given here. As I said, Matthew 24 was one of the key passages on the second coming of Christ. Another key passage that you would want to turn to and look at to get information about the second coming is right here, Revelation 19. Let's look at verses 11 through 16. 11 through 16. John says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Notice, and in righteousness he doth what? Judge and make war." Just like John described him in Revelation chapter 1, his eyes, verse 12, were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Is there any question who we're talking about here? None whatsoever. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Is there any question who that's referring to? If so, go over to verses 7 and 8, same chapter, Revelation 19, verse 7. "Let us be glad." This is just before, these are the events that take place just before his coming back to earth. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come." So we know that the marriage of the Lamb takes place near the end of the tribulation, just before Christ returns to the earth. The marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife, who's that? The bride of Christ is the church. You and I, the saints of God in the church age. The church, his wife, hath made herself ready. Ready for the wedding. Ready for the marriage. "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints." The fine white linen represents the righteousness of the saints. Our righteousness? No. The righteousness of our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose righteousness we are clothed. Those saints clothed in fine linen, white and clean, are returning with him. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Verse 15, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Would you be ready should the Lord Jesus Christ appear in the clouds tonight, before we take our next breath, before we get home from church, that he would appear in the clouds to take his bride out of the earth to be with him where he is? Would you be ready should the church be called to heaven prior to the tribulation? And it is going to be called to heaven prior to the tribulation, but if that were to take place tonight, would you be ready? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, you know it well, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That doesn't mean we're always going to forever be in heaven, the third heaven. You say, well, how can we be in the third heaven and come back to the earth with him? It doesn't say that. It says, so shall we forever be with the Lord. Where he is, that's where we're going to be. If he's on the earth, we're going to be there with him. During the millennial kingdom, we're going to rule and reign there with him. When we enter into the final eternal destination, which I believe is here on earth, we're going to be here with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord himself is coming. Are you ready? Dear Lord, thank you for this time of study, the Word of God together. We ask your blessing upon what we have spoken and read, and ask, Lord, that it would encourage and inspire us to go and tell others of the urgency of being ready, to let our friends, family, and neighbors know Jesus is coming back. We need to be ready. You do not want to go into the tribulation. You don't want to have to live through that horrifying period of time. You need to be ready. You can be ready by putting your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. Saved from tribulation. Saved from wrath. Saved from the penalty and power of sin. Saved from the very presence of sin. Are you saved? Have you been rescued from perishing by trusting in Jesus and him alone? There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It has to be through Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.